popcorn talkers. On this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we're going to find out how Don't Breathe had what it took to take the top of the box office this week. Plus, hey, guess who saw some movies? Find out in just a second.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, welcome.
That was quite the tongue twister.
That was,
I was impressed.
Yes, there's always a tongue twister at the top of the show.
It always is. See, I can't even talk right now. It always is.
It's
I was going to say, it's like the like a gun at the beginning of a race. Like, you have to be like, and go.
Okay. We gotta do it. That's right. But now we can just settle in and enjoy this episode of Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. Hi, everybody.
What's up?
Yes, as always, this is the show that talks about the box office of past weekend and then prognosticates about the box office to come this upcoming weekend.
Yeah.
Which is guys' favorite word.
I still have not used that in a sentence.
How often? I feel that's a word. I don't know when you're going to use that.
I feel like because I hear him say it, I feel like I should be using it.
Feel free to use it as much as you'd like.
But I haven't found a good use for it. Okay, I'll use it here.
True. Yeah.
I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyCoJackie.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And this is DJ Richie Sky of the Nine Lives Persuasion. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky.
Now, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hop in the chat. Of course, our man in the booth, James. Say hi, James.
Hi, James.
There you go. Perfect. He's pulling up the chat. We always love having you guys interacting with us during the course of the show. We're going to be doing our, as usual, our box office bet towards the end of the show. Sadly, there's only really one movie coming out, so it's not really much of a bet at all. But we'll be betting amongst ourselves. But there will really, you feel free to chime in on any other thoughts you have about the box office that was this weekend or anything that's coming up. But we only have really one movie to bet on this weekend. That's going to be The Light Between Oceans. Can't wait.
I have a personal bias about it.
Oh, all right. We'll find out a little
later
about that.
We'll talk about that. Or at least I can't have a subjective viewpoint, but we'll talk about it.
All right. Yeah. Now, as we're talking about box office bets, as always, with these past couple weeks, we've been starting our box office bet. And so, Richie Sky, let's chime in here. Do we have a Nine Lives update?
I saw this movie.
Yes! Richie Sky saw the movie.
I mean, this is what I think. It was a complete waste of my time. thank you all.
Did you at least see the matinee or something for the first show? Save some money?
Yes. But okay, the problem with this whole thing is that this would have been better suited to a channel, like the Disney Channel or some kids' channel.
Like a TV movie?
Like, it was a waste of time in the sense that it was an actual, like, in-the-theaters movie. I mean, I'm not saying that the family theme there is there, and it's cutish for father-daughters and that sort of thing, but it's kind of like, God, this really needed to be at the theater?
Okay.
I know
exactly Kevin Spacey
where
must
from.
Have had a break in between that monolithic show that he does for Netflix.
Yeah, he's like, sure, why not?
Because the deal for this movie is that he's married to Jennifer Garner, and he's just kind of a guy that a dad that's just too busy to spend time with his kid.
Like a workaholic, yeah.
But I found that the most unbelievable part just when I'm watching the trailer, that Kevin Spacey and Jennifer Garner are married. That just seems like a couple I can't imagine getting together.
Neither one of them had anything to do.
Oh, man.
No chemistry.
I mean, I just don't... Again, like, the whole movie is just like, this should have been a Disney Channel type thing. Like an after-school special.
Okay.
But at the end, did you buy the emotional journey that they went through at the end?
You know, I always try to live in the movie.
Yes.
I found myself, like, checking my phone.
Ouch.
But it wasn't... Again, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't for me in comparison to what I wanted to see this weekend.
Got it.
And what I did see.
Someone agrees with you on the chat. They said, look like a Hallmark movie.
Yes.
I would argue some Hallmark movies are really good on occasion.
On a Sunday afternoon.
No, some of them are really good. Some. I haven't seen that many, but I know one that like stood out in my memory. What the Deaf Man Heard way back in like the 90s.
that's your argument? That's in the 90s.
Sounds like a Hallmark or a Lifetime movie.
No, it was by plot. And then they had some other one that was like a Christmas one that I actually did background on, but it was a really good, cute family Christmas movie.
Was that the one that Lee Majors was in? There's one that Lee Majors and Dolly Parton, I think, were in. Thing, maybe? That was a great combo.
No, not that one.
Nope. Oh, okay, anyway. But that's a
okay,
shame.
Fine. I haven't seen that many, but I mean, they have potential.
Absolutely, Jazz. Pigs are indeed flying.
Yes. Now, part of my box office bet. So Sausage Party was your other one. You have not seen that yet?
Because Steven said I didn't have to see it.
Oh, okay, so all right. So
well, he didn't say it to me, but he said it in theory.
In theory.
Okay.
My box office bet, I had to go see Ben-Hur. I did
How
go see that.
It? You know, was it delightful?
Okay, so full box office breakdown confession. I have not seen the original Ben-Hur.
I haven't either, so.
I haven't, but I wanted to, and I looked it up on Netflix, and it wasn't on there, and I'm like, I wanted to watch it. It's one of those movies, like, you know about it, you've always known about it, but maybe you just haven't seen it.
Exactly.
But I mean, I respect that it's, like, the original.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the same way much more, like, I've always wanted to see Lawrence of Arabia, and I just have never made a chance to see it, so that's the same way with Ben-Hur, so I kind of just held it up, I was like, I should see this, but now I've seen the remake, and I have to admit, it's not... I know it didn't do well at the box office, and I was like, oh, this is not going to do well. And it's not a terrible movie.
It was all right.
It was fine. It was fine that you watch it. I mean, the chariot racing was you know, was all right. Yeah, it was no problem.
Did they at least incorporate, like, awesome camera techniques or things? Because that would be my thing. If you're going to remake a movie and you have more modern technology that possibly can film stuff better, did they at least do some stuff, like, really cool visuals?
There really wasn't, like, any kind of really incredibly crazy camera moves or techniques. You're thinking, like, whoa, okay, that's a really cool way of visualizing a chariot race, as opposed to what they may have been able to accomplish in the 50s.
Yeah.
So I would love to go back and watch the original, just see how the chariot races stack up just in terms of intensity with this. Just, you know. I'm sure there was something more visceral. I would imagine all the horses then really didn't have computer-generated imagery, so I'd be curious to see how much of the horse racing, the chariot racing, was CGI in terms of the horses on this.
Oh, sure. We got another comment from the chat room. It was 1959 Ben-Hur was a remake.
Thank you, Octavio. A remake.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, you know. There's a lot of movies like that that, I mean, everybody probably goes, oh, wait, that's a remake of a remake of a remake. Or if it's a remake of a foreign film and you maybe don't know. Yeah. But... it's not necessarily who did it first, apparently. It's a who did it better.
Exciting.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, it's. I know that there were some there were articles in the box office talking about, like, you know, the religious movie, these things, remakes.
Was it super religious?
No, I mean, other than, I mean, you're dealing at the time where Jesus was a, you know, living, breathing character. So it does deal with that. And so, again, another thing, I'd like to see the original just to see, does it follow that same sort of arc? Does it have those kind of touch points with the story as it did in this one? So, I mean, it was fine. I didn't feel like, I did not feel like Richie's Guided during Nine Lives, where I was like watching my phone and stuff. I'm just like, okay, all right. I just kind of went along with it.
Just saying.
I did, though, and we'll get into this as we go into our box office breakdown about the week
it
was.
I can't wait.
All right, so yes, we'll just jump in with our little box office bet recap here. We'll get into the week that was at the box office.
Yes.
Coming in at number one.
I knew this was going to come in at number one.
Don't Breathe.
I can't remember if I said it would, but I definitely was like, it's going to be up there.
26.4 million from Screen Gems right there.
Was that the one we bet
Boom.
On? It was, right?
No, we bet on...
I don't know what we bet on.
I'm like, that's only last week and I don't remember now. Oh, well.
Nothing matters except Don't Breathe.
Yeah, Don't Breathe. But you saw it. Yes?
Oh my God, it was so good.
And you
first
saw
off,
it too.
I did.
No, I didn't go see
this
it.
Movie, like, the trailer alone stressed me out when I first saw it.
Okay.
So the actual movie stressed me out to the point where at one point I wanted to get up and walk out of the theater only because I was so in it. So and I just wanted it to stop.
Okay.
It's a movie that does not stop.
I do have a question for both of you, and you could say now that you've seen the trailer, right?
Yes.
You've seen the trailer?
Yes.
Now, I feel from someone who hasn't seen it that they already tell you a little bit too much in the trailer. Do you feel that's the case after you know?
No.
Okay, good.
No. Absolutely not.
Because it's like there's some shot that I'm like, well, I didn't need to know that ahead of time.
Really, what you're seeing is mostly the inciting incident. So everything else that happens after that is just like batshit crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the only way I can describe it.
So definitely thumbs up, go see it.
Absolutely thumbs up and go see it. Like, it's, you just want so much, I wanted so much more for the characters. I mean, like, but they just kept doing things that I was just like, why?
Okay, another question for both the people who've seen it. I, just from the trailer, I'm kind of rooting for the guy who's at his house. I'm not rooting for the intruders. Does it?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about him, so I can't say. But from the trailer, I'm like, well, you kids broke into his house, and I don't like the douchebag guy from just the trailer. The girl's kind of meh, and I like the young guy who's going to be like the one who should be the, hey, guys, we probably shouldn't do this. So it's hard to go into that kind of a movie when it's like, you know, you're already rooting for the possible bad guy.
That's true. And certainly when you meet them at the beginning of the film, I mean, you're just like seeing them
right at the beginning.
Yeah, you're meeting them in the act of larceny. So you're like, oh, all right, I'm not really like, these guys are punks.
Right.
So I'm not really invested in them. I think already, you know, they deserve what they can get. But
okay. You
do find some stuff out about, you know, a character that, you know, at least gives them a little motivation about why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah,
they
have
some reason.
There's some heartbeat.
Yes.
To some of the characters.
Okay.
But the thing that I thought was so, like, kind of creepy is look at the first scene of the movie. Like, the when it first starts out, when it, the opening scene is just like, you're like, what the hell? So then when it kind of comes back around and you see it again, you're like, oh, snap. Like, I, you know, but even after that, you're still hanging on the edge of your seat because you don't expect it to take certain twists and turns that it takes.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, and I would agree, the one character that you from the trailer that you've seen, and I think that is probably the weakest character, is like the punk of the three kids.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, like he's the guy who seems like a jerk that I'm like, well, I don't care.
He's pretty much a kind of one note kind of cliche kind of character. Like,
yeah.
Yes, Panic Room, definitely. Definitely got a Panic Room vibe from that.
So someone says it more of a thriller then, because it's not supernatural, right? It's a home invasion.
It's
with a spin.
More of a thriller, I would say.
And then I want a quick shout out. Thank you, Jonathan. He's like, I've been awake for 24 hours, but didn't want to miss Box Office Breakdown. Well, thank you for watching.
Yes,
okay, been a Panic Room. Panic Room was really good.
Panic Room was good.
I'll have to check it out. Now I'm a little more intrigued because at first I was like, well.
It has that claustrophobic type of feel that Panic Room has to it.
And you saw Lights Out. Somebody asked about Lights Out, too.
Yeah. Ugh, yeah. I didn't think it was that great.
Oh, you didn't like it? I thought you liked it.
I liked Lights Out.
Okay.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah. One of the chatters, I kind of scrolled by, they said that she loved how dark and twisted it got. And there is, it does.
Good.
Yes, Don't Breathe does get dark and twisted.
Which was better, Don't Breathe, The Conjuring 2, or The Witch? I would definitely have to say Don't Breathe.
Well, I would say the only problem with Don't Breathe, though, is they're different, like, genre
They're different,
things.
But...
I mean, they're all in, like, horror,
I would say of the three that had me kind of... Again, this movie had me stressed out.
Okay.
So, neither of the other ones stressed me out.
Your heart was racing?
My heart was racing when I left.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, it
was. Yeah, I mean, because I think in the sense where I can see where your heart's racing a little bit more because it's a premise that everybody can buy into. You're trapped with somebody and you can't, I mean, he can't hear you, but so you got to be quiet.
No, he can't see you.
He can't see you, but you got to be quiet as possible.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
floorboards.
There are scenes in there, you're like, oh, all right. It's easier to project yourself into that situation than dealing with some kind of supernatural possession or something like that.
Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
But no, so that was that was
good to know.
Yeah, that
Glad
was
to
a,
hear it.
No, I that was a lot of fun.
It is a must see.
It has Richest Guy's seal of approval. Actually, yes, and mine as well. I was a huge fan of that. So, it's curious to see if, I mean, as it did, if it warrants getting a sequel. We'll see. Who knows? We'll see. But coming
does it end where, is it an open ending one?
I don't want to ruin anything.
Okay,
but yeah,
that's
fine. The story could continue perhaps. Who knows?
Okay.
Richest Guy, shaking your head.
I just, again, I'm stressed.
You're still stressed right now.
Wait.
Octavia says, what do you guys think of the ending? Too far-fetched or plausible?
I'm like, I was going to plug my ears, but I got hit.
Well.
Without spoiling it, because besides me not seeing it, there's other people watching this haven't seen it
yet. It's possible. I don't know if it's probable.
Okay.
Yes, I could see. There is one camera shot in there that I was like... Why are you shooting that? That guy's blind. He can't see. Where they do a close-up on his face, where you're supposed to be like, all right, to give the idea, like, he's watching you. I was like, guys, he's blind. So that shot really doesn't, like, creep me out.
He actually started to creep me out more as you watch the movie.
Yeah. Okay. And that Detroit dude, as you say, so they robbed Daredevil. What I liked about this movie is that it didn't make his lack of eyesight make him like some kind of supernatural guy, like Daredevil, where all his senses are super enhanced. I mean, you can tell that. I mean, certainly he's become adept at being blind, but his hearing is not like off the charts or anything
like that. Yeah, but Daredevil, besides his hearing, he was trained. He wasn't naturally like, I got superpowered. He went through special training to be where he is.
Well, true. But I mean, when he got dust with the radioactive chemicals.
According to the show, one of it. But yes, okay. So he's, but it's his house. You know your own house.
Yes. But in the sense in terms like his hearing and stuff like that, it's not like.
It is his house, right?
Yeah, it is his house. Okay. But his hearing is not so like extreme where it's like Daredevil where you
hearing
can pick up something.
In this movie
the city.
Is either going to be a big help to him or a very big hindrance to him. I will say that.
Richie's guy with a little tease.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, panel, check your tweet for Ben Herlink. Oh, now
yeah, we've had a couple people pop in saying that somebody died during the chariot racing in the 59 Ben Hur.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I think I've heard that. But,
yeah. All right. Thank you, Nelvin. Appreciate it. And then they're talking about what do you think of Stephen Lang as Cable? There's always that speculation who's going to play Cable in Deadpool 2. So, Stephen Lang, I could see him. I mean, I feel like that's such an that is a clear like one of those casting choices. You're like, okay, I could buy that. I mean, he looks like you imagine Cable to look like. But who knows? I also the name that was floating around was Coach from Friday Night Lights. So it was like, so I'm like, really? Okay, Kyle Chandler? I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But getting back to the box office, speaking of superheroes, coming in at number 2, Suicide Squad.
Wow, they're still hanging in that office.
Man, well, I mean, there really wasn't else much. I don't know. I mean,
so are these the people that are like, yeah, we haven't seen it yet? Or are these the second viewers? Yeah.
I think it's probably a combination.
Yeah.
It made a little over $12 million, so right now
that's not bad for being out for.
You know, there are things that I did like about it upon further reflection.
When
I mean,
over.
You know, it was a fun movie. It's kind of fun.
Right?
Exactly. It's kind of like that. It's the first movie. It's kind of like how they got together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't Avengers, but it was a nice little setup for what could possibly be something really great to come in the future.
Okay.
Yeah, I just, you know, I just feel like. Again, it's one of those films where I just feel like there is so much more potential than was seen in this film and this characters and the storyline.
I mean, at least it wasn't a Fantastic Four. I mean,
true, it wasn't that, but it was also like I said last week, it was just mediocre. I just watched it and just kind of like, meh. All right, okay. Fine, thanks. But I mean, I as a comic book fan, if they make a sequel or when they make a sequel,
I'll be there.
I'll still be seeing
it. Oh, for
sure,
absolutely.
So. Stalking every minute of that production.
Coming in at number 3, we had Kubo and the Two Strings.
Hanging in there. Woo, go for Kubo.
Almost a little under $8 million.
Shout out to everyone still seeing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's another one of those things that's going to be so well critically received, but yet it's...
Did you guys... I know for people on Twitter, you can look. I tweeted at these dudes and hashtag box office breakdown. There was an article online specifically about what we talked about of the casting of the voice talent for Kubo, because we did kind of mention of like, well... what ethnicity are the people who did the voices and does it really matter because you see them or not and such. And the article was actually rather nice look at how they did that process and the director talking about how they did a little bit more colorblind casting. Like it literally was like the voice and like, can you act and emote the emotions? Cause it's, we won't see you.
Yeah.
So it was actually a good little article. So look at hashtag box office breakdown and there should be that post there.
Mm. Sadly, that's one of those things that so many people will not read. Like, you almost wish that article came out like when you bought your movie ticket so you could read it, or like when you saw the poster.
Yeah.
Like, read this article too. So, people that would just by first glance, just like, all right, I don't need to know anymore. I'm not going to see it because they didn't cast any.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people went against it because of that reason. I think it's definitely being a word of mouth thing that's really good. And then also. Them showing the amazing behind the scenes videos of how they do stuff. Oh my gosh, guys, it's just amazing. And then they had a video on YouTube. I think I tweeted it too.
Yes.
So check that one where they showed the song and the cover of it. It's so beautiful. Just go look at Box Office Breakdown on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Gorgeous.
Seeing like the advances in stop motion animation.
Oh my gosh.
How much has progressed and how much technology has really helped just given the artist's ability to achieve so many different things and so much more quicker. Than before.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 4, speaking of animated films, Sausage Party came in from Sony, $7.5 million.
Still hanging in there.
I know, I was like getting ready for a bad pun. I'm like, no, not quite.
I was actually trying to think of a clever one.
It's still up there? Kind of? It hasn't
Me
tired
like
out.
You.
It's more than a 4 minute. No, I don't know. Well, wait, it's a 3 week. It's a more than a 2 week. Man, I don't know.
It hasn't gone limp.
Yes, there we go. Thank you. That's a good a little more direct. Yes.
But it could.
Richie, I mean, it's still in the top 5. Are you going to change your mind to go see it? I mean,
true.
No.
Now, I did meet a kid who was 13 who went with his older brother, and the mom's like, yeah, sure, whatever, it's an animated movie. And he didn't like it at all, though. The 13-year-old, I didn't ask what his brother liked, I forgot to ask, but he was like, no, like that, it was too intense of making fun of everything in like, you know, just like, and he's like, I didn't like it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, man.
And then we got somebody asking in the chat. Yeah, Quinn, our other host, is still on a job thing, so she will be back.
Yes, she'll probably be back end of September.
Like the Joker.
Like, flaccid, thank you. Someone else in the chat, good word to use for... It hasn't gone flaccid yet for Saucy.
Barry hanging is too richy. Thanks, Sylvia.
Yeah.
Octavia, I can I agree with your opinion. Go see Kubo. This is why we can't get nice things.
Yeah.
No, that is definitely a shame.
Or it could be one that like people like it a lot after, because I feel some of their other films, like films, people see it later on. You know, they're not necessarily the first run, but it's like on DVD or online afterwards.
Mm-hmm. No, very true. Now, rounding out our top five is another movie some of us saw here this weekend. Good old The Mechanic Resurrection with their boy Jason Statham.
Ugh. Yes, I saw it.
Aha, now tell us how it was. You saw everything this weekend, right?
Yeah, you saw a lot.
You were just like living in the theater, right?
I did. That was my Saturday. It was just dedicated to being in the movies all day. I did it for you guys.
But you know what? That sounds like a good Saturday, though.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah.
That's good. I mean, you know, you get that popcorn, you get that free refill. So, I mean, you get plenty of food to eat during the day.
True.
Yeah, there you go. I will spare no expense or time for these box office. I love you guys.
You know, I've done this show too long now because I'm watching the movie and I'm already thinking about what I'm going to be saying. I'm like, just stop it. Just
oh my God, I did that right after I left the movies. I already know.
But this movie, I wasn't able to be so immersed in it that I was disconnected and thinking about, all right, so I'll just...
You weren't able to be so immersed in it?
Right. Feel the problem with Mechanic. Like Jason Statham. I generally have seen most Jason Statham movies and the action movies. And the first one was really good. I remember liking it, going, yeah, that was a cool action movie. But this one just felt like detached. Like nobody felt super invested in like any of it. And there was just some weird, unnecessary... Normally editing doesn't bother me so much, even though I have done editing. But like the beginning of the movie has these random shots and sequences that were like... Why did we have this? There's no need. And it just was really kind of like, And then there's just some stuff in it. Like, this is a wait for Netflix one.
Oof, for yes, sure. Definitely.
It's just
that
like...
That is the curse right there.
I mean, I like Jason Statham. I like Jessica Alba. And I felt there wasn't really a lot of chemistry between them.
Zero.
There was no plot development for her. No character development for anybody.
Jessica Alba, like, is just like...
She was just a pretty face and, like, that, and body. That's it. Like, there's a shot where she goes underwater, and it's like, oh, cool, because he can see her from the beach underwater. That's why we're watching this?
I guess.
No, we're just watching her swim. Oh, okay. I follow. But then they had him shirtless a whole lot, too, so I was like, cool. It's, you know, equal visuals for everybody. But it was still like, eh.
I just felt like a lot of it, especially at the end, where it takes place on this big yacht... I just felt like some of it was just shot like over at, for those of you that live around Hollywood, Falls Lake is a popular filming location at Universal Studios, where you just have like a little quarry that you can fill up with water. You have a giant blue screen in the background that you can insert any digital image. It felt like that's where they filmed it because everything looks so like blue screen or green screen for those scenes. It just like, they did not feel like...
And his fighting, he was like too perfect all the time. Yeah. And I'm like... What the entire time? They know he's special and they know he's talented because the other bad guy is like, oh, he knows who he is and blah blah. But there's at no point where it's like, man, your bodyguards suck. He killed all of them.
Yeah.
Spoilers, but not really a spoiler, guys, because it's one of those. Because of course he can do everything.
Yeah, it's like watching like
it was like James Bond.
Movie.
Yeah, and Mission Impossible.
But where everything, but with everything goes exactly perfect.
Oh, perfect,
yeah.
Yes.
And nothing, there's Mission Impossible, there's always the tension where like, oh, the plan's kind of gone off the rails. How are we going to recover and still make this happen?
Yeah. And
none
it
of
was
that
just,
happens.
Glad I didn't waste my
like
time seeing that one.
There's a scene when he's with Jessica Alba and there was some cute chemistry at the wedding they go to and they're kind of like, there was some cute chemistry there, but he has this plot line like, I'm going to get you away and I'm going to save you and blah, blah, blah. And then like nothing happens. And then people show up, and you're like, wait, what happened to that plan? Though, Tommy Lee Jones was kind of awesome in it.
he was so funny. I could not stop looking at his soul patch.
And his glasses and his earrings. He was great.
There's a comment in the chat yeah. two comments really I kind of want to draw yes. your attention to.
Yes.
Is one is about Jessica Alba just being either a pretty face or not being able to act. Sometimes I feel like she's not able to accurately portray something that I want her to portray.
I liked her in like...
And I'm not saying she's a bad actress.
Good Luck Chuck? She's good okay. in romantic comedies. I think romantic yes. comedies, she's I think sweet
that
and
is
adorable.
Her wheelhouse right there.
Yeah.
And, oh, Dark Angel, I did like her in that way back when, TV show. I oh, didn't yeah. really love her in Fantastic Four that much.
She was great like, and Never Been Kissed.
Yeah, so romantic comedies and like very specific action movies. So I don't think she's just a pretty face, but I felt this character was like there was no... There's... And I'm also one of those people, I'm like, I don't really need that much character development, but this movie had, like, none for, like, anybody.
So then the second comment in the yeah. chat was yes. that Jason makes the same movies over and over and over again.
A lot of his movies are very similar, which, that's what, I mean, I like him and I like those movies, but generally it's the first one that's really good. Like, we talked about that, like, Crank was cool, that one's kind of crazy, Transporter was cool. The first mechanic was cool. I didn't see Spy.
Spy's a nice tweak on his kind of customary kind of role that he plays.
I mentioned Blitz. That's not quite... That was a British one. Yeah, someone mentioned Dark Angel. Oh, yeah, thank you. Dark Angel was the bomb. Which, random side note, did you guys notice if you saw Hitman, which also was like, all right, that was just a fun one, but I know that a lot of people hated that one. They took the exact scenes from Dark Angel and put it in Hitman as like his memories of a child. I'm like, these are from Dark Angel. It's the exact shots, guys. Go watch. It's the exact, like, because they're all kids, so it doesn't matter on the age, like, and what they look like. So it's like his memories of it. So anyway, side note.
Octavio, you're right. She's a billionaire. She's not hungry for acting anymore.
Yeah.
No, that's true. It's I get again with
neither would I.
Mechanic Resurrection. It was another one of those we often talk a lot about, like who wanted this movie? Because the first one didn't blow the sales off the box office.
It was cool, like, but yeah.
Internationally, mostly. Yeah. I mean, clearly it did warrant enough money, enough of a. It had got enough of a box office success that it warranted a sequel. I'm still surprised.
It's and like, I was going to say it again, but yeah, Blitz was a good one. British one he did, and that was like a cop entanglement movie. But that was less like crazy action. You know, it was a little more realistic. So
no, he's a good... Jason Statham, he's fun to watch on screen, and he's a great actor. Just sometimes I wish he had a little bit better material to work with.
We've had a lot of people say he's the same character in every movie. But you know what? There are those actors. They're the same character in every movie, but you will go watch them every single time because you like that character. And that's one of those you do or you don't.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when they change it up, you go, ooh, but that's not what you play normally, because then people get upset when they do that. So, yeah.
There could be some truth to that.
Yeah.
Now, talking about our people playing roles that we've known them for, getting to the international box office numbers, good old Jason Bourne, he rode back to the top of the box office in the international markets
yes.
there. Coming off of a $50 million start in China. China was where the action happened this weekend in the international box office.
The action is always happening in China.
I found this. I read an article, and this one is for Bourne. It was playing in 3D in, I want to say it's Singapore. Darn, I'll look it up again. But it was playing in an area over in Asia where almost all the theaters, most of the movies are 3D. But almost everyone wanted their money back because they were getting, like, nauseated because that movie was so jumpy in its action. Mm. And so they had to do refunds. And they're like, yeah. So anyways, Bourne, don't see it in 3D. And then it's interesting that in Asia, they were like, no, not 3D.
Yeah, it's. I feel like the shaky cam for that, I felt like it wasn't as extreme as it was in the second Bourne film. Bourne Supremacy? Yeah. Bourne Ultimatum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like there was a need to do that movie in 3D.
No,
one of those, it's like a theater and almost everything they show is in 3D, so they're giving people their money back and then they're going to do it in regular.
I would have wanted my money back too.
Yeah.
Although I did like the movie. It just didn't feel like it needed that. Yeah. Some movies feel like they need it, and then some are just like, well, why would we even, like, it doesn't affect the movie in any way, shape, or form in a good way.
Oh.
Yeah, it's, I feel like, I can understand why people would want that. Because I remember when I saw the first Paul Greengrass Bourne film I did, Bourne Ultimatum, that I was seeing it in a theater, and during when it got really shaky cam and all that stuff, that somebody a few rows up from me, they did throw up in the middle of the screen.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they did lose it. I was like, oh, and you could just hear like the smell as it kind of went back along the theater. Like, row after row was like,
But see, that smell can make people, ooh, thank you. Someone else, Bank Job. That was really good too.
Yes, that was a good
one. See, he has made some good ones.
No, he does.
And then someone else pointed out in the chat that Tom Cruise plays the same kind of character all the time as well. But that's a good character as well, you know.
You know something, though? I feel like Tom Cruise has a little bit more charisma.
Different kind of charisma. Oh, well, yeah, because he can like, do
he
a little bit different.
Be different. I feel like Jason will just... Well, Jason Statham will also just give you the same the entire time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like Tom Cruise can give you a little bit more vulnerability.
Yeah, he has and sarcasm and just little elements.
I like, we got from Hugh in the chat, Tom Cruise is 100% in each movie. He never wings it. The audience can tell.
I mean, you can definitely say that. I mean, I still remember him jumping up and down on Oprah's couch. So he is always 110% in everything that he does.
Yeah.
Now, another movie, another film that really did well in the international box office this weekend was Ice Age as well.
I mean,
Ice Age 5 captured 42.5 million worth of acorns, as they say in the markets, and logged into its biggest opening weekend in 2016 for a non-local animated title. At number two for the international weekend overall, the made over $50 million in 37 markets. So far, its overseas total is $306.7 million. And that's a movie that we really haven't talked about a lot. And I feel like in the States... Yeah, just kind of, you know, did okay and then just kind of went away.
Yeah.
But man, internationally, it is doing blockbuster stuff.
Yeah, someone mentioned in the chat, like, these movies are great, so no disrespect to that. We just haven't seen them all. And
no.
I remember seeing at least the first two, maybe the third, but yeah, apparently people like it. So go for it.
And no comment. Yeah.
the animation streak continues overseas, though, with The Secret Life of Pets. It got another $24.6 million in 57 territories, and that brings it up to $371.2 million. So it's basically just crossed the $700 million worldwide mark. So right now it's at $724.4 million.
Someone said, I wish Ice Age would melt.
Ah, that's true.
Yeah, actually, that's been like the plot of part of it. It's like, well, it's changing.
Now, if you would have told me that after like the first or second Ice Age, someday we'd be seeing Ice Age 5, I'd be like, come on, really?
Well, it's like Land Before Time, like 15 or something. I mean, no, they weren't in theaters, but still, the fact that they keep making... I don't know. It's one of those. Are they still making?
I don't know if they're still making it. Yeah, but I figure there's that point where it crosses over to more to like direct to TV or direct to video.
We have got news. Warcraft may get a sequel without a U.S. release.
Oh, what a shame, Richie.
Well, it's like Richie's like, flying somewhere else. You get it later.
I want to see it. Sorry, I just had to mention that, guys.
No.
And lastly, for international box office news, Suicide Squad, we've been talking a little bit about that, but it's still doing well internationally as well. It got another $19.6 million in its fourth week, bringing it to $353.1 million overseas and $636 million globally. Yeah. So even though Sony's Don't Breathe, I did number one here in the box office. Basically, it's kind of starting a little smally in seven markets, and it's just got $1.9 million.
I wonder how popular home invasion films are in other countries.
I don't know.
Because like that's a genre here within horror in a way. Because horror has so many subgenres, but home invasion is one that we've done a lot.
No, that's true. I guess we'll find out next week. Kind of see how it goes. Now, one thing, folks, hey, if your home's getting invaded, you know, you always have to worry about, are they going to raid my fridge? Are they going to steal all my food?
Are you going to be able to keep them out and have food in your fridge?
That's true. Yes. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, and if they look, maybe they look at the cupboards are bare, maybe the fridge is bare. Maybe you don't have time to go out and shop or anything like that. Get food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those
what
you
to
don't,
do?
Yeah, those young miscreants that are breaking into your house are going to judge you. They're going to just tell everybody, this guy doesn't have any food in his place. I mean, that's true, but that doesn't have to be, because if you want, you can go to Blue Apron. Now, Blue Apron is supposed to be, and what their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. So look at that. Any of us, you watching, us right here on the panel, all of us, we could do some home cooking, man. Impress everybody, all our friends, our loved ones, a date perhaps, DJ Rich's guy.
There you go, cooking.
You know, always schmoozing, you know, look at that.
Always.
Now, the way the Blue Apron achieves this is by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. So Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. And as a result, seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef is raised humanely. Chickens are free-range. Pork is raised naturally. And regenerative farming practices are used for produce. Basically, Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. and 99.5% of food deserts and food deserts. Now, because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for your recipe, they're reducing food waste. So basically, everything that you need to create that recipe is in the box and nothing else. You don't have to worry about any unwanted leftovers that you're just going to get tossed out.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, basically cooking together, that builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. Cooking together, that's always fun. Everybody kind of gets together in the kitchen. It's like a nice communal place. Talk about your day, have a lot of fun, have a good laugh. So those are where some good family memories are made. And those who spend a lot of eating out or high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a healthy, delicious meal. Now, some of these meals that are available coming up in September, just listen to this. Get ready. Your taste buds are going to start watering. Mm-hmm. Paprika spice shrimp and cheddar grits with tomato and sweet corn. Mm. That sounds delicious. Spicy hoisin chicken stir fry with baby bok choy and sesame ginger cucumber salad.
Sounds fancy.
Eggplant and chickpea tangine with island pepper, tomato, and couscous. And how about summer udon noodle salad with cherry tomatoes, corn, and sweet summer sweet pepper?
Exotic. They all sound so exotic.
Yes. Now, not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients taste better and are better for you. So it's important to know where your food comes from. So basically, that's what I love about Blue Apron. You know exactly where everything's been sourced from. So if you have any questions about where anything's come from, is this for me? Is it good? Is it high quality? Blue Apron takes care of it for you. So when that package arrives, you can open it up, cook with everything, and know that everything's going to taste delicious. Now, Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest standards of quality. And whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. Now, you can check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping. Yeah, look at that. Free shipping, ooh, guys. By going to blueapron.com/boxoffice. I got our own
discount
special
code.
You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes, and to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. Guys, that's blueapron.com/boxoffice. Blue Apron, guys. It's simply a better way to cook.
Mm. Oh, yum, yum, yum. Made me so hungry now.
Yes.
And I just ate.
Now, coming up, as we talked about, we do have the Light Between Oceans. That's one of the films, basically our only film to be coming out next week. But as we always like to do a top five inspired by the upcoming film, we're going to be doing the top five Michael Fassbender box office films. So, yeah, some really good ones here in the top five. Mm-hmm. Coming in at number five, we've got Prometheus, which, you know, that is a movie that I know a lot of fans are divided on in terms of how it relates to the Alien franchise. It's Ridley Scott's return to that. That movie it's shot incredibly well. Mm-hmm. The cinematography and the set design is great. The story drives me bonkers. There's a lot of people making dumb mistakes.
Yes, I was going to say, I'm trying to remember what I thought of it. I'm like, no, I liked it, but there were I'm not a scientist, but there were scientific things they did that I'm like, what?
Oh.
Yes, let me touch the unknown substance.
Yes.
With my bare fingers. Oh.
Listen, these are things that make the movie, though.
No, but it's so frustrating.
I would be so much more appreciative of a film where if everybody's operating at the top of their intelligence and still
and then
terrible
that's
things happen.
That's fine, because that's what happens in the real world.
Sometimes I think they feel like they have to rationalize the bad thing that happens.
Did you say, Richie? Like Charlize Theron's character in there, a cipher of a character. And the way she goes out in that movie is ridiculous. She's running away from the ship and it just rolls right. Like that was, she's just running in a straight line, basically.
I know. It's like the Indiana Jones and the ball. Run to the side.
Listen, yes. The people in the chat are loving it.
They love Prometheus. I'm not saying I hate it. I'm just saying there are parts in it you're like, no.
No, there, and it's a movie
that... Oh, thank you. Yeah, someone said they love it, but yes, there's a lot of plot holes.
There's so many plot holes, and it is a movie that would drive me bonkers if I think about the story, and yet just visually, it is...
Oh, it's gorgeous. Gorgeous. Oh,
there are so many great things to watch. And the scene where she is trying to get rid of the alien...
Yes!
That is great when she's in the surgery little pod.
Yes. See, and I like her, too.
It sounds more like you're loving this by the moment.
Maybe it's a love-hate relationship.
I think that's what it is.
But, you know, it's the same thing with, Descent. It's when they use that random carabiner that's stuck in the wall. Now, I'm at least an amateur climber, and I'm like, no. You do not use some random one in some cave somewhere. Maybe some other places, but not when your life depends on it. I'm sorry. That's a no.
Yes. I like
what
that.
Was it?
The one stop flat over, they thought, the little snake creature was, some kind of cute little thing, and they touch it, and then it goes up the guy's arm
and
breaks it.
Seriously, you're like, what are you doing?
That was just ridiculous. Coming in at number four, though, is probably my favorite of the X-Men franchise films, X-Men First Class.
Yes, that was
this one by
one.
Matthew Vaughn.
Did like a lot.
Because it was a great way to reboot it with a new, fresh perspective, but still the characters we like, But
I wish
in a
they
different
had
angle,
more of a, you know? Of a game plan with that whole situation.
You know, I really wish they had just done a clean break and not try to attach it to the first three films. If they just said, hey, we're rebooting the storyline, rebooting the franchise and starting it right here, I would have liked that. Because their attempts of kind of bridging the two have not been as elegant as they would like it to be. And it just makes it just like, ugh. It's, for me, it just takes me too out of my head where they're trying to connect those two franchises together. Or those two parts of the film franchise together.
Yeah. Keep them separate. It's one of those, it's the same characters, but just slightly different stories, which it's okay.
The fact that Alex Summers is Scott Summers' older brother just constantly irks me. Like, no, he's Scott's younger brother. Havok should not be the older brother in that relationship. What's going on there? Number three for Michael Fassbender, X-Men Apocalypse, which is my least favorite performance of his in the course of those X-Men films. He just basically has nothing to do in that movie except just stand around a lot in like a little CG magnetic field.
You know, that is kind of true. But I mean, how many times can he be the main villain?
Yeah, but you know, you can still do an interesting character arc with him. You know, I felt like the most interesting stuff that happened to him happened before the movie started. And like you're meeting him like after the things I would have liked to see.
Oh, the backstory?
That would have been more interesting to watch than what we saw in X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah.
By the time that happens, you're like, oh, okay, great, sure. Number two is a movie that, when I think about Michael Fassbender, I often forget this movie. But it's 300, which was a really fun, enjoyable
movie.
Love
that movie.
Yeah, that is great. This is Sparta. Yeah, that's the Zack Snyder I enjoy.
Have you seen it? There's like a really short little animation where it's very animated, like it's not realistic looking. It's two chubby penguins, and it's a penguin who kicks the other one, and their voice is like digital chipmunk high-pitched. It's so good. It's like, this is Sparta! You're like, what? And not even that. And that's like a bad impression, but it was just great.
There you go. I did like the before scene in Apocalypse.
That was really cool.
It was cool, but then it was just like, man, can we just like, you know, just how much can we pile on Magneto in that scene? It's like, ugh. And coming up, as we're talking about X-Men, his number one film for the box office for Michael Fassbender, X-Men Days of Future Past. A fun film. I mean, not as good as the original source material. But, I mean, a good job.
Cool.
If you're going to attempt to kind of connect those two spectrums of the franchise together.
I liked it. I felt like there was a sense of urgency in that movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was so far that and First Class, by far the highlights.
Funny, random. Someone said they hadn't, back to 300, they hadn't seen it because Zack Snyder killed DC for me. Okay. Well, funny thing with 300, that's very different from the graphic novel because the graphic novel is really short. I read it. And I like the changes they made. Like, his wife's character has, like, the tiniest part in the graphic novel. But in the movie, it's, like, way bigger and does so much more. And there's just a lot more that happens in the movie. So, do recommend the graphic novel. But that was one where I'm like, I love the movie, too. And I like the graphic novel. It's beautiful.
Now, before we get into our little presses right for the week that was, we've got our, basically, we've only got our...
Just one?
We've got just our one major release this week.
Well, one major, yeah.
Yes, The Light Between Oceans there with Michael Fassbender. So we'll do our top five right here to kind of figure out where that's going to fall amongst our previous top five here of Don't Breathe, Suicide Squad, Kudo, Sausage Party, and Mechanic Resurrection. Does anybody honestly think that the Light Between Oceans has a chance of cracking the top five?
I think it's possible. I don't know if it's probable. If anything, it's probably going to be at five, but that's just me.
All right. A couple people in the chat were talking about Assassin's Creed. Now that looks really cool. I'm excited for that one. Rachel Weisz is in it too, and she's a medium pull for people. Like, it's people who like her might be like, yay. It's a drama that I feel it's going to be a very specific group of people that are going to see this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll go first for my top five predictions. I predict that the box office is going to stay exactly the same as it is.
Oh my God, that's what I was thinking too.
Yes, I don't think there will be any change.
Kind of wanted to throw that movie in there for number five. Ooh. Just to be,
Yeah, I
can't do something fun, but I don't know.
I can't see it changing. I just think that the box office of that film is not going to be enough to top even Mechanic Resurrection on its second week.
Oh, there you go. Somebody pointed in the chat. Thank you very much. Wasn't our hands? Is this Hands of Stone?
Hands of Stone.
Yes, our Hands of Stone.
That was our bet.
Yeah. Yes. So we're gonna.
Didn't make the top five at all.
No, it did not make. It came at one point. We're gonna get to that in just a second. But first, we'll do our top five here for next week.
You know what? I don't want to be like ditto, but I kind of agree that I don't think... Fine, to be different, I'll say it will get five... Yeah, it'll be Don't Breathe, Suicide Squad, Kubo, Sausage Party. They'll probably stay there. And then Light Between Oceans. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like Richie.
Yeah.
I'm going to just go with the same from this past week. Because you know, I watched the trailer and I, you know, barely made it through. But right? I just felt like, I don't know. This one also felt like it could have been on the Hallmark Channel.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't feel like, am I going to the movies to see that? It's kind of like Titanic. This is just going to end bad.
Or it's one of those, what they tell you from the trailer, you're like, okay, so this one's very subjective, personal opinion on it. But it's the idea that, you know, they've got this baby and they're like, well, it's my baby. And then the birth mother comes and it's like, well, it's no, my baby. And then like the ownership of that child, essentially. And I'm like, well, you're both the mom. So
it is very Lifetime movie, I'm telling you guys. Like, that's what it looks like from the trailer.
And yeah. I'm adopted, so I'm even more like, but you're both. Like, that, like, her argument of, like, not giving the kid to, like, to know the birth parent, I'm already like, so annoyed with it. I'm like, I don't even know this movie, and it makes me, like, stink face about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that we kind of reached, like, there's one of those, like, little slow spots of the year, box office-wise, where you're just getting, you know, like, the doldrums of late August, early September.
Yeah, we had a couple people point that out on Twitter and stuff, that it's back to school season, so it's kind of just
Yeah, it's going to be a couple weeks of kind of like, and then we'll start picking back up again.
November?
Yeah. Or even October, we'll start seeing some good stuff over there.
Yeah, maybe some good more horror ones for October.
Yeah. So we won't dwell too much on our top five. I think we're pretty much all in agreement that we're going to see pretty much
it's probably going to stay the same.
So yes, as we talked about earlier, as we get ready for a box office bet, last week we did do Hands of Stone. Made about $1.7 million. Way under any of our predictions. We predicted way high on that one.
Wait, what were our numbers?
Richie came in with 12 million, Carrie 11, and I had 10.5.
And what was the number again?
1.7, guys. So,
What?
Yes.
Ouch.
Yeah, Hands of Stone really did not punch its way out of the cellars.
God, I don't even think we should count this.
So, sadly, Richie Sky, get ready for a little Hands of Stone action.
I'm not playing the game this week, guys. playing the game.
Well, I mean, this is the game we've chosen to play. This is a rough one. It's going to be the Light Between Oceans.
I cannot
Oceans.
Keep seeing movies I don't want to see. We're going to have to come up with a new game.
If it's this bad of a weekend of what's coming out, could we change it and be like, you got to see something that you haven't seen yet, regardless of, but not the ones that you're already stacked up? So, like, something else in theaters that you hadn't seen yet, besides your previous bets.
Okay.
Yes?
I like it.
And, you know, because it's like, if you really don't want to and that's the only thing, it should be like, well, maybe, you know, something else.
Sylvia actually has to see it because she gets 13 million.
Yeah, you got to go too, Sylvia.
All right, Sylvia, you and Richie can commiserate
about Hands of Stone.
You guys
can tweet during the movie to each other.
There might be some great boxing scenes in there. Maybe. Who knows? You can at least take that away. And Usher's got a great 70s fro in there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm definitely going to go see it now.
All right.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, the box office bet is going to center around Light Between Oceans.
Four.
Four. Carrie comes out of the gate strong with $4
million. I'm just saying four.
Now, I mean, just to keep in mind, guys, just for our predictions here, a couple notes on those, is that Michael Fassbender's last two dramas that came out were both Macbeth and Steve Jobs. Now, Macbeth did about $68,000, and Steve Jobs, for its opening weekend, did about $521,000 for its opening weekend. So those are the numbers we're kind of working with here. So Light Between Oceans?
Two. Change my mind. Two. Two.
All right.
There you go, two.
Richie Sky?
2.5.
Man, why even think, like, Hands of Stone came in at 1.7. I feel like that would be more interesting for people to watch. I'm going to go.
We got 35,000
to check. Yeah. Hugh going strong with 3.5?
I felt like
it's a bad weekend when you're saying that someone's going strong with 3.5. Like,
ooh. Yeah.
Don't bet the house, Hugh.
No. Wow. Everybody giving love.
Lady Jensen was saying 10 million.
I'm going to go with my two. And even that, I'm like, that might be too high.
Yes. I was going to say 1.5 for Light Between Oceans.
Didn't he say that?
He said 2.5.
You can do 1.5.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I feel like
two.
Yeah.
Someone said 9,000.
Okay, I'll change mine to $2.
Six. Six. Wow.
Six.
Adelia, six
wow.
Million?
No way.
Oliver, 900,000.
Listen,
yeah.
I think everybody's just kind of spooked because of Hands of Stone. Honestly, I really do. I feel like somebody's gonna go see this movie. There are people that want to be sad.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be...
But it's not like a romantic drama. It's a weird, like, family stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know the other... Oh, totally. Before You? Me Before You?
Yeah.
Like, that was sappy romance thing, and that obviously drew people, and that was a book. So this one is just not the same, like, oh, romance, like, that draws that crowd, so.
No.
Someone said it looks better than Usher's Lifetime movie. Well, which, it just depends on what type of Lifetime movie you like. You want something sad, or do you want something filled with action?
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you people want?
Yeah, man, it's just...
We're all like, ugh.
How do you like your Lifetime movie?
It's always interesting, that distinction between what... I mean, I guess because you get Michael Fassbender. You get Michael Fassbender, that's something that you want to see, that you'll put in theaters.
Maybe he's a draw for people. I guess we'll find out.
No. I feel like people like Octavio and things like that, I could understand what you're saying. You don't think it'll touch $1 million or even $250,000.
Yeah. I feel my two is going to be high.
I feel like Carrie might be seeing a movie.
I know. Well, I do want to go see Don't Breathe now.
Listen, you have to go see Don't Breathe.
I know, it sounds so good.
And I feel like, you know, we've talked about it enough.
As a suspense,
but we haven't even given you the...
That's good stuff.
We haven't even given you any of the good stuff.
Let's see. Yeah. Light Between Oceans is being released in 1,500 screens. Hands of Stone had 810 screens.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. That's some of the... Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So it's
a ghost town this month for theaters.
It is.
I went to the theaters on Sunday, and it was packed. But, I mean, it's a cheaper theater. I went to a Cinemark, and that one had lots of people going, so...
I was actually surprised...
Mechanic was pretty full.
Yeah, and I was surprised Ben-Hur, even on second week, and given how poorly it did the first week, it still had a nice little crowd in there.
Yeah.
Even on a matinee on a Saturday.
So, I think people are still going.
Yeah.
See?
Way to beat the heat kind of a thing.
Oh,
last
Jonathan.
Right,
Michael Fassbender can't open a movie, guys.
Lei Jin says, love a good Lifetime thriller movie.
Mother may sleep with danger. Sweet. All right, Lei Jin. Yes. All right. I'll go with you. Jonathan has a point. Assassin's Creed. I think Assassin's Creed.
No, but that one is a totally different ballgame.
Yes.
Completely different because it's, one, they've done way better advertising. They've been advertising for a while.
Yeah.
It's based on a huge popular game franchise, so that already has a big built-in audience.
Yeah.
There's tons
Warcraft.
No, but like Assassin's Creed is a different kind of thing too. But Warcraft is like, it's a different group of people who play
I just
that.
Wanted to bring
and
it up again.
And there's been so many parkour videos of people who do like Assassin's Creed like on their own. So that gets interest, so I think that one's good.
How did
better.
Prince of Persia do?
I mean, it did fine, it didn't
but
do
that
as well.
Is that as big of a franchise as Assassin's Creed?
At the time, it was.
It was? Okay.
I mean, it had a lot going behind it.
I would have to go look up how Prince of Persia did.
Yeah. Well, you know, but
that's also a different kind of movie. Like this one looks techie, and then it's the other world. So
yeah, I mean, if I had to choose between Jake Gyllenhaal or Michael Fassbender, I'd rather watch Michael Fassbender. So,
it's not out yet. Yeah.
All right, so guys, that's going to do it for this episode of Popcorn Talk here on Box Office Breakdown. But as always, thanks so much for watching. You can like us on Facebook. There you go. You can do that. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks so much for hopping in the chat. We love having you guys interact with us during the course of the show. We'll find out who's right for their box office bet next week. We'll see. You know, Lei Jin going for strong with $10 million, or somebody like Octavio who's going for maybe not even $250,000. We'll see where the fans kind of line up for that, as well as our personal bet. In the meantime, there, if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Richie Sky, where can they find you?
You guys can stalk me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. I do want to add real quick. Yeah, Resident Evil, love those movies. I will see all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really cool. And there was another one, Prince of Persia bombed. But, yeah, anyway. Oh, and Warcraft, good point. Warcraft waited too long to make that movie. They did it after that bubble kind of popped of huge popularity. So, anyway.
And you can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Thanks so much for watching, guys. We'll see you next week here on Box Office Breakdown on Popcorn Talk.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.